This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Breaking news this hour, the disaster that is the Joe Biden presidency continues. He just signed the $739 billion Inflation Reduction Act, which the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says will increase inflation. In fact, in particular, it's going to hit energy costs. We've already been told that home energy costs are up about 6.1%. Seattle City Light wants another 5% hike. With this new Joe Biden signed Democrat boondoggle, it's going to add more than 16 cents to the barrel of crude oil, $900 per metric ton of methane, $1.10 per ton of underground coal. So a lot of electricity, especially in the Midwest and over in the East Coast, is still coal-fired electric plants. And so electricity costs are going to go up. So the Inflation Reduction Act, as with everything in government, it's the exact opposite of what it's billed to us. It's an inflation increase act, and it's gonna continue to hit this country hard. But right now, they're afraid they're going to lose control of Congress, and they have to try to sneak in every bit of tax and spending that they possibly can, because that's what they do. That's what they're all about. Speaking of which, let's get to the local level. Nicole, you're often, you have nieces and you've friends with lots of kids. Do you ever go to the Seattle Aquarium?
Yes, actually, I just did in the spring sometime. Yes.
I thought I remembered that.
Yeah.
How is it?
Well, to me, it took us about an hour and a half, and I seem to remember it taking longer back in the day, but it was, everybody was in mask, and they were the mask police, even in the spring. And I don't know. It's not as impressive to me as it used to be. They don't have as many big animals. It's all aquarium, you know, look through glass. And then, of course, the petting area. But, you know.
I get that at the dentist office.
Yeah, it doesn't last that long. Yeah.
They have a nice aquarium at my dentist's office. I can look through glass there.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle Aquarium is now asking for the taxpayers to give them a $20 million loan to finish an expansion. And by the way, I wrote about this back in, what year was this? July 24th, 2018. Now, this shows you how prescient our radio show has always been. So we have a story at My Northwest from July of 4 years ago, 2018. Headline, Dory, top of Seattle's priority list is new Shark Tank. And I was talking about how the Seattle Aquarium, they said, oh, we got to have more money. We're at capacity, so you have to give us more money. And that never made any sense to me. If you're at capacity, shouldn't you be self-funding? If you're sold out, you shouldn't have to come begging to the taxpayers for money. And plus, we've already spent $1 billion on this, more than that, on the new Seattle waterfront, which supposedly is driving a bunch of tourists down there. You have all the cruise ship traffic down there. And the taxpayers? And the $113 million expansion, I said back then, I go, there's no way it's only going to be $113 million. And sure enough, it has now gone up by $47 million, which is almost a 50% increase. So the $113 million expansion is now $160 million. And they say that, oh, we can't afford it all, so give us more money, please. Here's Fox 13.
So this would be a $20 million loan on top of $34 million the city's already pitched in. The money would go to complete construction of the Ocean Pavilion, a 325,000-gallon tank that is set to be filled with sharks, rays, and 30 different kinds of coral. The projects run over budget. The nonprofit that runs the aquarium says that they are unable to fundraise that extra money they need in time, and they say that more construction delays could bring costs even higher.
With this inflationary environment, every time we delay, it ends up costing more. So we don't want to do that. But if we have to, we have the ability to do that.
Well, wait a second. You have paid admissions. You have a foundation that you can turn to. You have all kinds of revenue sources, but you have to have the taxpayers come to you and loan you another $20 million for a project that's $37 million over budget. I'm sorry, $47 million over budget. And just 15 years ago, they finished a $40 million expansion. How much are we going to be into for this aquarium? $1 billion?
And it's expensive to go there. It's 35 an adult, about 30, 35 an adult, and 25 a kid.
No.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wait a sec. Hold on. Little aquarium price.
Their prices fluctuate, but it's 30 to 36 for adults, 20 to 26 for kids.
For something that the taxpayers have subsidized to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's insane.
And
I don't have anything against aquariums, but this is just foolishness when government is once again this inefficient. $30 weekends, $30. It's crazy.
But they price it like planes, where the fuller it gets, the more it costs. I believe they try to make everybody go to different times because you still have to, because of COVID, you still have to reserve a time.
Surge pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we finished a $40 million expansion 15 years ago. Then they told us they needed $113 million. It's up to $160 million. Now they need a $20 million loan. Maybe it's just not a viable business, but we got a lot of priorities in this state. We have, and in this city, we have an awful lot of crime issues. And it's because we don't have the money, we're told, to fully fund our police department. So are priorities really on a shark tank? I want a drunk tank before we can get a shark tank, crying out loud. So we got homeless, criminal, drug addict, vagrants all over the city, not nearly enough cops, and yet we still have to build a shark tank. This is unbelievable. The lack of prioritization, and that's why. That's why I would, if I was ever in government, in a position of power, if I was ever governor, the budget would be stripped down to zero, and then we'd start building with the basic necessities. And we'd fully fund schools and law enforcement and jails and all of the important things, and aquariums would be real low on the funding list. And if people didn't like that, then they could just go and raise money on their own, like they need to do here. But coming to taxpayers for all of this is just absolute insanity. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, one of the main jobs, one of the first things you learn in journalism, who, what, where, why, and when. If you're covering any kind of a crime story, that's what we have to answer. When political correctness makes communication so inefficient, in this case, just wrong, there's a headline at Cairo 7. A woman was assaulted at a Vashon Island grocery store. And here's the headline. Woman claims they were assaulted inside Vashon Island grocery store. And then I'm reading the copy. A Vashon Island woman claims a man grabbed their face and threw them to the ground inside a grocery store. So I'm wondering, so multiple people were assaulted. Who's besides this woman? Who else was assaulted here? And it turns out it's just one woman. But news media these days would rather be politically correct but incorrect in being clear communicators than anything else. So, you know, I don't fault Cairo 7, but, you know, the reporter on the story, Lauren Donovan, she's a terrific reporter. I just think that when you tell a story and then the viewers or the listeners or the readers, they can't even focus on the story because they're trying to decipher it.
Island claims a man grabbed her face and threw them to the ground inside a grocery store.
Is she even there? Monique Minglongen. A woman claims a man grabbed her face and threw them to the ground. So this is, once again, there's an inconsistency because intuitively everybody knows how wrong this sounds.
Joan Island claims a man grabbed her face and threw them to the ground inside a grocery store. That woman is talking only with Cairo 7's Lauren Donovan, who joins us from Vashon Island.
I was able to get surveillance footage of that violent encounter from the King County Sheriff's Office. And the woman, Desiree, you'll see them in the video. They tell me it all happened in the blink of an eye. They were stopping by the Thriftway.
They tell me it all happened. They were stopping by the Thriftway. So I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, okay, why didn't her friend step in to help if she was part of this group of people? They stepped into the store. They were threatened. And then I find, well, no, it's just her. But we can call her a woman, but we have to call her they. And so now the story sounds incorrect because they would suggest multiple people were assaulted, but it was only a single individual. And I would just, again, if it was my job running any news business, I'd say job one is to be clear and correct in what we convey to our listeners, our readers, our viewers. And if it's just a single person, don't call her they. But then they get all the haters coming after them, and they'd rather just be politically correct than grammatically correct, I guess. It's so silly. It's so silly. We're in the communications business. Near public schools. We told you last hour about how much our kids are suffering from the 2 years of shutdowns. In Minneapolis, they've got quite an idea for their public schools. Now, let me lay this out for you. Let's say that the Seattle Seahawks, you know, right now they have a 90-man roster and they got to get down to a 53-man roster. How would you feel as a fan if the Seahawks said, you know, we've got too many black players. So when we cut from 90 down to 53, we're just going to cut the black players first because we want to have more white players on our roster. Well, that would be insane. And everybody would say that that's insane. But that's exactly what's happening in some schools now. And Minneapolis is where this is happening. In the Minneapolis schools, they've announced that they are going to fire, because enrollment is down so far because Minneapolis was ground zero for all the rioting in America. Minneapolis has announced that it will fire white teachers first. They say that they have too many white teachers, so even though they've always based it on longevity, seniority, and competency, they say that, you know, we tend to fire the newly hired teachers first. But now they have agreed that they have an excess number of white teachers. And so when they have the layoffs coming up, instead of focusing on seniority, they're going to focus on underrepresented populations and they're going to fire the white teachers first. Leo Terrell is civil rights attorney. He was a public school teacher and he told Fox.
Let me be very clear. Skin color has nothing to do with qualifications. Nothing at all. This is one of these equitable decisions, which is a code for race-based decisions. I was a teacher for 7 years. I never had a parent or a student say, I want a black teacher. I want a white teacher. They want a skilled, experienced teacher.
A good teacher.
And this is nothing more than a race game.
Yeah. You just want, as a parent, all you want is a great teacher. And man, that's not what you're going to get if you're going to fire teachers because of their skin color, and whiteys must go.
It's unconstitutional, it's discriminatory, it's affirmative action, which is illegal, and it's racist. Steve, besides being a school teacher, I was a civil rights attorney. My whole goal as a civil rights attorney is to eliminate the game of playing the race card. Right. And what you have here is people out in the open playing the race card. And I'd like to see some data that says a kid learns better if they have a teacher that looks like them. They need experienced and qualified teachers, period.
I'm serious. Can you imagine an NBA team? saying, yeah, we got 15 on our roster. We got to get down to 12. We're going to cut black guys because we got too many black guys. The fans would say, are you insane? Just keep the 12 best. No. We're just going to get rid of the black guys. We want more racial diversity on our team. I mean, you just couldn't do that anywhere. It's illegal what they're doing here.
It's going to go be challenged at court, and I'm going to be very clear. It's going to go down the flames because you can't. It's based on race, violation of the Equal Protection, 14th Amendment. I could do this. I could litigate this case in my sleep. I feel like going to Minneapolis and suing on behalf of those teachers who are being denied a job based on skin color. It is strictly illegal. End of story.
But this is also an extension where, you know, the critical race theory that's trying to divide kids by their skin color, trying to make kids hate each other based on their skin color. Everything is about race to these administrations. And this is just an extension of critical race theory now at the teacher level.
This is the extreme left, Steve. You know, critical race theory, decisions based on skin color. When you hear the term equity, that is a code for race-based decision. And if you were a teacher who's not black or a minority, you are being discriminated against, and your recourse is the courthouse, and you're going to win.
We don't care about excellence in education anymore at this point. It's all about social justice activism, which is why our kids here in Washington, if you're listening last hour, are failing basic standards at a record rate. It's because educating kids has become a distant thing on the priority list. All right, up next in the Fastest 15, I don't know how to tell this story even. Nicole, can you help me tell the story?
Nope.
A dog belonging to a... I'm just going to read the story. I'm not going to... No comment
it's
on it.
It's just weird.
It's from the New York Post. A dog belonging to a gay French couple has contracted monkeypox after sharing their bed. This is the first confirmed case of human-to-pet infection, according to reports. The Parisian men, ages 44 and 27, are believed to have contracted the virus after having sexual contact with other guys during their non-monogamous relationship. The couple said they then noticed that their Italian greyhound had developed pustules on his stomach.
Oh, poor pup.
Guy! That shouldn't be... You know, Buddy's got some Italian greyhound in him. That's all he's got in him. He hasn't gotten pustules or anything. But a PCR test on the doggy confirmed it had the monkeypox.
Well, lockdown for dogs. 2 weeks.
2 weeks to stop this. According to the medical journal Lancet, and this is a very respected journal, the dog shared a bed with the two men and perhaps licked one or both of them before licking itself.
Okay. Am I not loud? Well, now we have to worry about dogs getting vaccinated for monkeypox.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. Then all bets are off. All right. That is... I'm just reading the story. Men reported co-sleeping with their dog. They'd been careful to prevent their dog from contact with other pets or humans from the onset of their own symptoms. All right, there you have it. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes. We'll give you the word. Okay, Dave Wyman's going to drop by for his weekly visit. That is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
REO Speedwagon.
Good. Very, very good, Dave Wyman, who takes a 1-0 lead, or as we like to call him, soccer. 1 mil. Name that artist. Dave joins us every Tuesday afternoon. You can hear him afternoons on 710 Seattle Sports. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
How was your first trip of the season?
It was interesting. Yeah. Flew out there. You know, I was talking about my seat and how the seats are so small now. But what would you rather have? So on the way back, I had a person sitting next to me that seemed rather annoyed and just didn't want to say anything to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That weighed like 150 pounds. Or a guy sitting in the middle seat next to you that is about 220, 225, but you have a great conversation with him. What would you take?
Man, that's a tough one.
Talking on a plane helps me pass the time.
What's so, that?
When I talk on the plane with somebody, it just helps pass the time.
Yeah.
I can't sleep.
Although, here's the thing. I was when I was going up to Sitka, Brock was in the row behind me, and there was a guy sitting next to me, and he was just kind of a crazy guy. Mm. And we were making a little chit-chat, but then it was time to stop chit-chatting because I wanted to watch a movie or something.
Yeah.
And I have these headphones that they look like a headband, and Brock was sending text messages to me. He goes, the headband, it's not going to stop the guy. And sure enough, he's hitting me on the arm, and he's asking me some other questions. And
did you finally just say, I'm going to watch my movie? No?
I thought my body language clearly conveyed that.
No, some people, yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, but I never used to be a good chit-chatter on airplanes. But like you, I'm trying to become much better at that, and I like to hear people's life story.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy next to me on the way to Pittsburgh was really nice guy. So, but yeah, I had a good trip out there and watched, obviously did the game, which was interesting, you know, just a new era for Seahawk football. Very,
it's pretty different.
It's really different, yeah.
Yeah, you told me, you texted me a cool story about a guy you met just having dinner or something?
Yeah, I was having lunch with John Schneider. The GM of the Seahawks, and we were just sitting there. We're eating up at this bar, and these people came in, and the guy had on a Lewis Lips jersey.
Wow, that's a throwback.
Yeah, so I think he played like before I did, or about the same time. But anyway, so John and him and his girlfriend, we start chit-chatting and all that, and then all of a sudden he's like, so you're going to the game, whatever, and he goes, you want to get down on the field? And they're like, sure. You can do that? And so finally, you know, I told him that we start talking and, you know, he's the GM. And so, yeah. And then I went down and saw him on the field when I go down with Rabel before mm-hmm. and talk to Pete and, you know, players and stuff like that. They were over there on the sideline. So I went over there and said hi to him. But, you know, it was just a cool thing. I told John Schneider, I go, you're like Willy Wonka. he said, is that good?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a really cool thing. And I know Dave Pearson does that too. And he, you know, I think John texted Dave and said, hey, and a lot of times they like to get Seahawk fans, of course, but these people were so nice. And, you know, it was a cool thing to witness and see how, you know, their faces down on the sidelines, they were so excited. Like they never would have got a chance to do that, you know, had they not just randomly run into us at a bar. It was cool.
I remember, Nicole, do you remember a few years ago? We talked to the young lady, and she had terminal cancer, and she went to see the game in Detroit, I believe it was.
Yes, I was just talking about her, but she went to see Luke.
Yeah, Luke Wilson.
And I think it was Chuck Arnold, Seahawks team president, who found out where she was sitting. She was in the front row, and he same thing, got her down on the field, and she got to go in after the game. And then she passed away just, I think it was just a few weeks, or certainly not more than a couple of months after that. But I talked to her on the show right after that, and it was just the time of her life. And it was, yeah, so it's cool when you can do things like that for fans and just make lifetime memories.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool to see that kind of play out. And they like doing that kind of thing, usually, like I said, Seahawk fans. But, and then, you know, the game was just an adventure. Just, you know, none of the starters really playing. And then just a lot of youth, a lot of young guys that are pretty raw and made some mistakes. But – There's a guy they drafted in the second round named Boye Mafe from Minnesota, and he played his tail off. He had a really good game, yeah. So he really stood out. But for the most part, they're still kind of a work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. But yeah, different expectations this year than there have been for over a decade. By the way, the young woman that I was talking about, she had stage 4 breast cancer. Kate Irwin was her name. And she went back and she was just on cloud 9 when she went on the field there. So it was,
that's cool.
Cool moments. Okay, quick timeout. We'll continue this conversation. Dave Wyman is... this is a big one for me. I'm all out of luck.
Air Supply?
Yeah.
Shouldn't have said that, Dory.
Dang you, Dave. Wow. Okay, 2-0 Dave Wyman. I'm lying alone. We will continue this competition and this conversation in just a moment as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. I know you had to. Pat Benatar.
Blondie.
Dave Wyman.
Ah!
3-0.
Darn you.
I am on fire.
You are something else, man. Okay, that means next one's just going to be for pride, of which I have very little today.
You don't want to get scalped.
Yeah, because, and this is what I've learned about you, Dave. You don't like to just beat people. You like to crush their soul in doing so.
I didn't have a whole lot of that in my career, but I'm relishing it right now.
Yeah, well, you should. So I've got a little dilemma on a personal matter that I need your help with, I think.
Okay.
Because you've been looking for cars lately, haven't you?
Yeah.
Did you make a decision?
No, it's for Shannon, so I don't. Yeah, she needs to be the one to pick it out, and we're trying to decide what to do.
Okay, here's what my here's my thing. My wife and I, this is shocking because I got my first car the day before my 16th birthday. To me, a car has always been a sign of freedom, and it's also, you know, a way that I could start working right away. But
I thought you were going to say pick up chicks.
Yeah, not me.
No.
Not me, brother. And so I haven't had a car for over 2.5 years now.
Oh.
Suzanne and I have shared one vehicle, and she went to Vancouver this week, or to Portland, to watch our daughter in a tennis tournament. So I was carless. And I can't keep living this way, Dave.
Yeah, That's tough. We're kind of that way too. Shannon's car that she drives doesn't have any air conditioning or, you know, radio or anything.
What?
So, yeah.
What? And no radio?
It runs great. It works fine. Brakes are good. Wheels, all that stuff. But yeah, it's old and we don't want to pay for whatever it's going to take to get it back. We're just going to get a new car. So yeah, that's tough. So we have 1.5 cars basically.
I'm feeling helpless for the first time in my life, and then I see the prices, and I figure, well, if I've gotten by 2.5 years, where the prices are now, maybe I just should still figure out a way. You know, I've got my e-bike; I can get anywhere around the neighborhood that I want to go.
Yeah,
but I'm feeling trapped. I'm feeling claustrophobic, and I always thought back in the olden days when our girls were younger. Did you ever own a minivan?
No. No, yeah. We just had like an SUV type
thing. Okay. See, we had a minivan, which was a very, for its time, it was a very sensible vehicle. But I always thought that every family should have a minivan, a pickup truck, and a convertible. And now I don't have anything, and it's starting to wear on me.
Yeah, I don't, I'm with you on the pickup truck. The convertible, no. I don't need a convert. Yo, you know what? I used to have, did I tell you, I went outside of the NFLPA and did this NFL football card. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's really hokey. It's where I'm like leaning on some weights. It looks like a glamour shot or something. It's really stupid. Really stupid. And they paid me $10,000 And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. I had to fly down to the Raiders. And, you know, so they cut me a check. And I went, and with that money, I bought a 71 Buick Skylark that was a convertible with the little button you push to had the soft top. That was pretty cool, I have to admit.
That sounds like your kind of car, too.
Yeah, it was they called it a gentleman's muscle car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what I need.
You should get like a throwback car. Get something like that, like a GTO or something.
So, well, one of my longest time friends, he got his dream car was a 68 Firebird convertible.
Ah, nice.
And it's a sweet ride.
Yeah, those older cars, like the suspension, they just kind of glide. And and that thing must have weighed like 10,000 pounds. And now what are cars, like 4 or 5? I mean, that was like steel on the sides. There was no fiberglass on that car.
No, but I want my phone to be able to hook up with the, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything else. I don't know. Okay, well, you were no help at all. I just thought maybe you'd have some good advice for me on this.
No, I'd say stick with the e-bike.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
All right, I'll just be a homebody still. Yeah. All right, there you have it. This fascinating conversation with Dave. Oh, we still have one more song for me to figure out if I can avoid this.
Bob Seger.
Dory got it by half.
I think Dory got it.
Yeah. But Dave,
I have a buddy from Montana who I went to Stanford with, and I was just on a Zoom call with him.
Yeah.
And every time I see or hear Bob Seger, he had a tape that his brother made for him of Bob Seger, and he spelled it S-E-G-A-R.
Okay.
And so to this day, I still call him Bob Seger.
He's a good one, that Bob Seger. He didn't make any bad music. All right, you can hear Dave every afternoon on 710 Seattle Sport. Do the Mariners play today?
Yes, they do. Playing the Angels in the second game. Awesome game last night, by the way.
Yeah.
So much to like in that game. They won, I think it was 6-2.
4-9 for those Mariners. Yeah. Pretty impressive. All right, Dave, thanks for dropping by. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
We're going to check the news for you here, and then the big lead at 2 is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.